Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This is the broadcast for, what is it, November the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to promote God, family, and country, protect life, liberty, and property, use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration, use the checks and balances, all that good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the broadcast. James Edwards with me. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. And you know what, James? All I can tell you is there's a rift in the Republican Party like you wouldn't believe. Some of the folks are saying, I think it's Josh Hawley and others saying, the Republican Party is literally dead as we know it. Talking about the old guard, the Mitch McConnells, the whacked out old deep state thugs, and literally saying we got to have the new Republican Party take over. Your thoughts?
Well, they're going to have to get more aggressive, that's for sure. I mean, the old guard way is just treading water long enough until each state can be picked off one by one. I mean, you do have, again, we've got all of the evidence now. We've had a week to sift through the election results and what they mean and what the biggest takeaways are. And as I said 2 weeks ago on this program right before the election, I said it appears as though the red states are going to get redder and the blue states are going to get bluer, and that is exactly what happened. Now, I did expect that the Republicans, when you're taking into account the rampant inflation, the rampant crime, the situation on the border, the fact that the Democrats are goading us into a World War III, that the Republicans would win the Senate by a couple of seats. It looks like it's going to be about a draw. So, you know, that's the difference between winning big and having an underperforming night is, you know, a couple of races. And these two races, of course, are the ones where there's so much skepticism about whether or not there was a fair vote in Nevada and Arizona, as we discussed in the first hour. But the Republicans did officially take back the House, I think, best case scenario for them. And I don't place necessarily my interest in the interests of our people with the interests of the Republican Party. I do think that there are instances and some individuals where the Republican parties do, Republican candidates do offer a stark difference to what the Democrats want. But in some ways, it's better that the Republicans only won the House narrowly, because the Freedom Caucus members like Paul Gozer and Marjorie Taylor Greene are going to have more power. They're going to have more leverage. They're going to have to be reckoned with. You're going to have to go through them now to get anything passed in the House, because you're going to need unanimity. You're going to need things to be unanimous. But I want to say, too, before going back to this, Sam, you know, the whole thing about what we were saying at the end of the first hour, I appreciate what you're saying about peaceful restoration, but why would we want to be restored with these people that are on the other side?
Think about these people on the other side. They're akin to those who supported King George back in the day as well. And the Founding Fathers didn't yeet them. The Founding Fathers, over time, educated them about the value of the Constitutional Republic.
Yeah, but you know what? That difference is there's something to be said for that. But
right,
that is
your
totally
proposal,
different.
Let's say we secede. What states secede? What states stay? Do we secede, or do they secede, or do we? Who controls the country, and who remains a constitutional republic? And if you secede, then are you going to have a general constitution or states knit together in any type of organization? What is your plan? Let's just talk about the plan for a second.
The states that would secede, hypothetically, would be the red states, not just the old Confederacy, although they would certainly be included in it. What's the other? Look, the
thing is, they all talk about it, nobody does it.
Well, nobody seceded, that's for sure, but there is a stark difference between the state of Florida and Alabama and South Carolina and Georgia and Mississippi and Louisiana. Look, in all of those states I just mentioned, the Republicans.
Idaho, and no question.
The South, absolutely.
And the Rocky Mountain states have become a bastion of, for the most part, conservatism. That's a relative statement, by the way, compared to the East Coast, West Coast, Northeast states, etc. There's no doubt about that. But the question is who maintains the constitutional republic? And what binds the states together based on whoever leaves or whoever stays, right? If you're not careful, you secede, and none of the states have any organization whatsoever. Now what you've got is 50 what? Democracies/republics? Depending on who you are?
Well, it has to be
figured
out.
Most of the states are landlocked. This has happened. Tennessee's landlocked, right?
Tennessee is, but it would be working in cooperation with other states, which
maybe
Texas, Louisiana. Well, it would. I'm sure that they would have some sort of a confederation to use the word.
They might. Okay, so now we create the quote Confederate States of America. That's been tried before.
Yeah. Well, you know,
all that results in 600,000 deaths.
Well, how many died winning our independence the first time around? Was that, you know, that's the thing. The only crime in war is to lose. If you win, of course, your cause was righteous. If you lose, of course, it
no,
it
I don't
was
think
unwarranted.
The cause of the Civil War on the North side was righteous by any means. I think it was tyrannical and evil.
Well, the point is, if you stay in this marriage, you know, and all of the concerns that you have would be better suited. And I think to the extent that America even exists at all, as even a faint vision of the founders, has been because of the people in these red states that have, continued to try to keep it afloat.
I agree with that 100%, and that's why we've got to continue to hold it together. Now, if California wants to secede, let them.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too.
But if
I just
don't
think
seceded from the West Coast and the East Coast, you have no ocean trade.
Well, look, I mean, why not? Look at North Carolina, look at South Carolina, look at Georgia, Florida. I mean, there's a lot of states that
Georgia
have,
won't go with us.
Well, they might. We'll see. I mean, even
Georgia's
if they don't,
the
you still got
Texas. Fraud state
well, certainly, you know, look, on the state party platform of Texas, they have now, and they put it in last summer, or earlier this summer, I should say, to put secession as a question on the ballot. That's the Republican Party of Texas. Texas is a big state with a lot of ocean front. All I'm saying is this. Obviously, I can't sit here. You and I can't sit here and dictate or determine how this would happen. I think the question needs to be seriously debated, and then perhaps solutions and opportunities would present themselves. But all I'm saying is, and I don't want to chase this rabbit anymore, all I'm saying is I certainly don't believe that it is unpatriotic or an affront to God or anything like that to say we just have to have a separation from these anti-Christ and anti-American
states. I
completely
agree. I think it's an opinion that you're certainly entitled to. I think it's an opinion of a lot of people. I think it's an opinion that should be discussed. My discussion isn't do you have the right to claim that or do you as a state or your states have the right to do that. I support all that completely. My question is if we're not very careful, we think things are so bad, we jump from the frying pan into the fire if we're not very careful. Right now, you can at least travel peacefully across the country. You might get felt up by a TSA thug. You might, have to put on a mask or something weird, but you can travel peacefully. You know what? We take this on, and we're pretty much at civil war if we secede, and now you've got a hostile country that you can't even travel across.
Now, look, that's a valid point. But
much less live and work in and all these kind of things. So we're not debating if you have the right. We're not debating if it's godless or godly or that you're wrong or right. What we're really discussing, in my opinion, is the practicality of what choices are before us for solutions, right? That's really what the debate is, and that's the debate
in the Republican Party
right now as well. So Donald Trump just announced that he's going to be, running for president. Some in the Republican Party say that's awesome. I am proud to tell you that I just announced from Mar-a-Lago that I am officially running for president of the United States, Donald Trump. Right now, some are excited about that. Some are not. I personally am mixed on this. What do you say?
Well, I watched all of it last night, and it was certainly muted compared to what you would have expected from a Donald Trump type of situation. I think that I worry that it may come back now as a farce. I certainly didn't feel any of the tingle that I felt in 2015 when he first announced, when it was so fresh, so unique, so totally different than the establishment status quo. Would he be better than Joe Biden or whomever the Democrats run? Absolutely and without question. There's no doubt about it. Trump was really the only Republican who's accomplished anything of substance for its base with regards to, if nothing else, at all, his appointments to the Supreme Court, which overturned the Roe versus Wade, or at least they say overturned it. It really didn't do that. It kicked it back to the states, which is where it should have been
anyway.
Yeah,
but it did what needed to be done. You're right about that point.
That's right. So he did do
for
that.
Sure.
But this again goes back to what we were talking about a moment ago. Would God want us to be restored to Sodom and Gomorrah? Can we be restored in a nation that doesn't allow us to have accurate votes?
Would God want us to be restored to Sodom and Gomorrah? Absolutely not. Let's be clear.
And so the thing is, can we be reconciled with a country that will not allow fair and accurate elections? That's a big question. So with regards to Trump, it may all be moot. I am glad he's running because, again, it raises the political stress level. I do want to see these fissures widened. I just don't think, you know, you were talking about King George, and it's a good point, but even those people, and even the people that were combatants in the war between the states, they still had a commonality. They were still a vast majority Christian. They were of one culture. They had disagreements that led to war. Obviously, they had stark disagreements, but they were fundamentally still had these common ties that bind. Americans do not have that now. We are several different nations that are split up between two blocks, the Republicans and the Democrats. And I don't see any reconciliation there. So I think, you know, with regards to Trump, I'm glad he's running. And I support some of the things he said. I mean, my gosh, we could go back and debate the pros and the cons and the goods and the bads.
So
of Trump.
The reality is, if we would secede, we got to discuss which states would do it, how they would do it together, and patriots need to move to the states that would leave and or the states that would.
But you saw a lot of that, Sam. You saw a lot of that.
People where they live and such too, right?
That has happened over the course of the last couple of years, absolutely and without question. One of the reasons Florida and some of these other southern states went so Republican was because over the last couple of years, with all of the tyrannical COVID restrictions, the last 2 years, a lot of people from these blue states are coming to the southern states.
So the stage is getting set for what you talk about, but let's talk about Ronald, I mean, the Donald, and see what he claimed in his speech last night and how it relates to reality.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, James Edwards, Sam Bushman, breaking it down. The Republican Party is absolutely in shambles. Sam and James debating about secession. I'm not saying it's an evil idea or a bad idea. I'm just telling you, everybody wants to preach secession. Nobody wants to do the work to set up so it's literally possible. That's the problem that I have with it. Everybody just wants to go to the, hey, let's just start shooting. No, hold on, folks. There's better ways. Let's just go ahead and secede. Oh, how are you going to trade? Well, I don't know. By golly, but they're evil. Well, you're right. But you got to think through these things. You can't just be an idiot and run around and just demand all kinds of crazy stuff. That's like everybody telling me, hey, why don't the sheriffs just arrest everybody? Arrest all the bad guys, Sam. Just round them up and arrest them. No, there's due process, folks. The same things that protect you protect the thugs too, right? So you got to think through these things, and you can't put the cart before the horse. Donald Trump then said, hey, I'm happy to announce I'm running for president. Well, he then, in his speech before and kind of after, basically said, with your help, we'll make America powerful again. America's never powerful under the Donald. Not at all. We've had the weakest military in the last, 20-plus years than we've ever had in America, ever. We're fighting multiple wars. We're broke as all get out. We'll make America wealthy again. My friend, we're $30 trillion in debt, Donald. I don't know how you understand that, but you obviously understand it different than I do. And if you talk about unfunded liabilities, we're $150 trillion in debt. Don't tell me we're a wealthy nation. We're borrowed to the hilt, about to be taken over for our debt, sir. Don't play games and lie to me like I'm Judge Judy. We would make America strong again. I don't even know what strong means. And immoral people, people who don't turn to God, are never strong. We'll make America proud again. Proud in what? The Constitution? Proud in our adherence to? Proud in our separation of powers? We'll make America safe again. The only way to do that is to put together militias in the country and acknowledge that they're real and true and one of the founding fathers' solutions for internal stability and safety. And then to jettison all the foreign entanglements like the good General George Washington recommended. You're not proposing any of that, Donald, nor have you ever. We will make America great again. I guess it all depends on how you define great. But it was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it's hardworking patriots like you that'll save our country with me in 2024. We're going to rescue the country from the radical left and Joe. We have a lot of work to do, and we're just getting started. Please send me your money. Can I count on you to rush in your inaugural donation and be one of the ground floor founders? So I've literally gotten no less than 10 emails from Donald and partners begging me for my money, James. Are you impressed yet or what?
Well, I got a lot to say about all of that. First of all, nobody can speak for America. There is no America anymore. There is not one people, okay? That's the thing we're talking about here today. There are at least two Americas. Really, there are more than that, but there are two Americas and two different blocks. When he talks about these issues that resonate with half of America, they are completely anathema to the other half of America, who are for murdering babies and child mutilation and gender mutilation and crime and BLM and COVID restrictions. That is a totally different America. But there is a difference between some of the Republican Party players now and the Democrats, which is interesting because before Trump, there was really no difference between them. And here on the same day that Trump announced, and I want to get to some of the highlights that I, some of my biggest takeaways on the Trump speech, but Governor Greg Abbott of Texas did this. I invoked the invasion clause of the U.S. and Texas Constitution today to fully authorize Texas to take unprecedented measures to defend our state against an invasion. I'm using that constitutional authority and other executive orders to keep our country and state safe. And basically he has deployed gunboats on the Mexican border. There's a lot going on. Texas is trying to build its own wall now. So yes, there are differences between the Republican Party under Trump and the radicalization of the Republican base in a good way under Trump and what he's done. So if that can continue, that would be good. But his speech did come off as a little low energy, to use one of the Trump terms from the original campaign back in 2016. It did not have the same Trumpian flair. It did not give me all of those feelings that I had when he first ran for office before six years of...
He didn't really mention election fraud at all, did he?
No, he did not. No, he did not mention it at all. That was key, and obviously he was told not to do that.
Hold on, stop. What do you mean told? Who tells the next president what to do?
He has advisors like anyone, but normally he just doesn't listen to them.
He needs to get new advisors because they're the ones that sunk his 4 years in office.
There's no doubt about that.
He needs to get new advisors because Patrick Byrne tried to tell him the truth, and he listened to whacked out Giuliani and got schooled for it.
Well, he also listened to Jared Kushner. It was a two-pronged thing. Yeah. He ran a terrible re-election campaign. Kushner did.
Giuliani and Jared, great advisors. And listen to Ivanka. She's hardcore constitutional conservative there. And, see, this is the problem with the Donald. He's too wishy-washy. He doesn't understand the fundamental constitutional reality of America. That's the problem with the Donald.
Here's some other things from his speech.
Debate the Constitution on air with me, sir? Let's do it. You're chicken to come on the radio with me, though, Donald. I know it. And I'll prove it because you never come. Yeah, some came on and then dissed us as if we were the enemy somehow, and all of his liberal friends were his friends, right?
That's right. Well, he once again failed to mention white Americans. In the first couple of minutes of his speech, he talked about how well African Americans, Asian Americans, and Hispanic Americans did under his presidency, but he didn't mention by name the people who actually voted for him, which was
a big thing
that sort of depressed his numbers in 2020 as well, is that he alienated his actual base by the Platinum Plan and all, you know, letting out black rappers from prison. Anyway, other than that, he did say a lot of good things. It was muted. It was low energy. But he talked about, you know, I think that running against funding the war in Ukraine would be a winning issue for him. Just as taking on the neocon warmongering establishment in 2016 was. He did mention in the speech that the government is being run by radical leftists and that third world countries can count votes faster than America.
Yeah, but it was run by radical leftists under his control as well.
Well, all of that's right, but just talking about the speech, he meant you are absolutely correct about that, no doubt about it. And so I wonder, that's the thing, I wonder if he's learned a lesson, if he would come back as a vengeful, punishing Trump, which is what, you know,
we needed. You saw how he's going to come back. Last night, you saw how he's going to come back.
What, meek and as a lamb?
That's right.
Well, he did mention... He mentioned no men on women's sports teams. He condemned what he called gender insanity and critical race theory. That's good. I will keep America out of foolish wars. I'm just reading direct quotes from him. Yeah. That's good. I think the time for voting ourselves out of this whole thing,
Sam. He won't keep America out of foolish wars. During his tenure, we were in over 130 nations militarily. He didn't really get out of any of them, did he?
Well, he didn't pull back the troops from where they're based, but we didn't have any hot conflicts, really. Not like we're doing.
All
not
right,
like
so
we're heading towards right now.
130 plus nations, and that's cool.
Well, that shouldn't have happened either. But I'm just saying, I don't think we would be in this situation with Russia right now if Trump was in there. I mean, probably not. But I think the time for voting ourselves. If you have rampant election fraud, which I believe that we do, we don't have the smoking gun. But
if you don't even mention it in your run for office.
Yeah, that's right. But that's the thing. I think voting ourselves out of this may have passed. But the system, this is the fact, Sam. The system is genuinely opposed to Trump. I do believe that. You read his media coverage. You read the coverage that Ron DeSantis is getting out.
I don't think so.
In a moment.
I think the media loves Trump. If they didn't really love Trump, they'd just ignore him.
Well, that's hard to do when he's the president. But in any event,
the president, he lost. Just so you know,
well, he used to be. Well, they covered him when he was
for 2+ years now, right?
They covered him when he was, and they covered him when he ran before.
And
but
they covered
because
him
he did bring in ratings,
ran, and they're covering him now.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you call that coverage, I mean, I'll read one of the headlines in just a moment. But in any event, I'm glad that he's running because we can count on him to further the divide. And you're going to have 2 more years of partisan rancor and pitched battle, which I think is going to be good. I think we need these fissures to widen in order to have a future on this continent. I think we need alternative options now. But here were the 4 biggest things. Now, none of these things he could possibly do, but he did mention it. He vowed to use the military to crush BLM and Antifa riots. Well, when he was in control of the military, he certainly
didn't
do
that during his watch.
No, when he was the president and had the authority to do that, he didn't.
But trust me, the second time, I'll do it, James. Trust me.
He says he wants one-day death penalties for drug dealers. You were talking
about that
earlier. Yeah, I know. You said it protects the thugs. It protects us, too. He wants to get rid of early voting. Now, obviously, that's something, and he wants to go to paper ballots. You know, but the president can't do any of this.
I support those things, but that's not a federal thing.
Yeah, that's right. He's not going to be able to do it, but I'm just talking about some of the things
that,
he said.
He moves it towards a federal thing.
Well, let me read you one headline, though. Now, this is the state of our unbiased taxpayer-funded media. This is this is National Public Radio. Donald Trump, instead of saying Donald Trump is seeking re-election, former president runs for re-election, Donald Trump, who tried to overthrow the results of the 2020 presidential election, inspired a deadly riot at the Capitol in a desperate attempt to keep himself in power, has filed to run for president again in 2024. That's your media coverage of this announcement.
And that's why James says, I don't think we can reconcile. He's right in many, many ways. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Trump announced his third White House run from his home in Florida last night.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. This will not be my campaign. This will be our campaign altogether.
A pair of Russian-made missiles traveled 15 miles into Polish territory and killed two civilians in their home Tuesday. This simple attack could invoke Article 5 of the NATO treaty and pull all 29 NATO nations into the war. President Biden is downplaying the threat and asking Congress to print more than $37 billion in emergency aid for Ukraine. The G20 group of powers agreed to a joint message at the close of their summit in Indonesia this week that says most members strongly condemn the war in Ukraine. Countries like China, India, Saudi Arabia, and South Africa have been reluctant to do so. Russia is a member of G20. President Putin did not attend this year. Let's get an update on the killings of multiple football players on the UVA campus. Katie Lewis from our Midwest Bureau reports.
Students at the University of Virginia will be back in class today. The university gave students the past 2 days off to mourn after Sunday's shooting that killed three football players. Police say the suspect, who is a UVA student, shot at least four football players on a bus when he and other students returned from a field trip in Washington, D.C. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
NASA successfully launched its Artemis 1 moon rocket from Florida early Wednesday morning. The unmanned mission duration will run 25 days, 11 hours, and 36 minutes. USA Radio News.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, talking about Donald Trump's bid for the presidency. So you got more that he's claiming to do, James, besides begging me for money?
Well, those were the highlights that I took, the things that I most agreed with or disagreed with. The rest of it was just sort of filler, I guess.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, though, Donald lied on something that I just can't get over. He said during his presidency, we had the best economy we have ever had. And James, with fiat fake money,
yeah,
you cannot have the best economy we've ever had. Not even close. The constitutional currency of gold and silver created the longest run of the most stable economic engine the world has ever seen. Donald Trump literally, either intentionally or ignorantly, ignores that reality and doesn't even mention the problem with fake money whatsoever. That alone makes him unqualified to be president, sir.
Well, I mean, we don't want to let the perfect be the enemy of the better than Joe Biden. I think we can agree on that.
So
I mean,
you're not wrong. Two evils instead, right?
Well, listen, to what extent will he be lesser? I mean, I would. I have never voted for a Republican before Trump. I did vote for. I mean, but there, you know, if you're talking about lesser to a tiny degree, then you're on to something. If you're talking about lesser to an to a Grand Canyon type of degree, then would I rather have Sam Bushman? Sure, but between the options I've got, I'm going to have to vote
pragmatically.
All right,
so let me ask you the next question. You know what? Just because Donald runs And just because he's announced that he's running, that doesn't mean that the Republican Party has to make them or make him their nominee.
Good. That's good. I'm glad you brought that back up because
so
I was about
talk
to
about
to,
this, folks.
I was about to forget something pretty important here, and that is, I think the only threat to Trump right now would be
Ron
DeSantis.
Who can challenge Trump in 2024?
Only one. Ron DeSantis is the only one. And there is a lot about DeSantis that I like. He takes a lot of the Trumpian things that got the Republican base excited, and he has implemented that in the state of Florida. He's taken on Disney. He's taken on critical race theory. He pushed back on COVID. He's mentioned anti-white acts of terrorism.
By the way, he pushed back more on COVID than the Donald.
So there are things about DeSantis that I like. I think, however, though, he would sort of taper things back to a more traditional Republican versus Democrat situation instead of leading us to where I think we need to go, which is something beyond that, because I don't think we'll ever be one united collection of states again. And so if we're not going to be, I would rather keep my family protected from the evils of the left. This is not differences of opinion when you're talking about the things that they're advocating for now, the modern-day Democratic Party. I think it is absolute evil. I would like to shield my family from that, and the best way to shield that I know of is to separate from that. And I think DeSantis would take us more back into, hey, the answer lies within the existing system of Republicans and Democrats, and I don't think I believe that anymore. But in any event, I do like a lot about DeSantis, and there's no doubt that what he was able to do in Florida was absolutely remarkable. And he's done it as a governor, so he has the experience to do this at an executive level and get things done. And, you know, winning Florida by 20 points is just, well, it's everything that the media said it was. It's noteworthy.
Right.
But here's the thing. Here is my misgivings about DeSantis, though. Here is my misgivings about it. He is getting universally good press right now. Is it because the system is so opposed to Trump, they'll try to prop DeSantis up until he wins a primary before turning their guns on him? I don't know. Or is he part of the system? I saw an op-ed on CNN written by David Axelrod. We all know David Axelrod was the former he was the former Clinton and Barack Obama campaign manager.
Yes,
I mean, deep
Edwards, even though it's by proxy. I'm just telling
deep level operative within the Democratic Party. Everything you dislike about the Democratic Party, David Axelrod is a living embodiment of it. Okay, he's bad, bad, bad.
So what we do is we read his op-eds.
I saw the headline and I was wondering what this was all about. I saw the headline written by David Axelrod and it said Trump. It said something about this being a blessing. He was talking about the midterms not going as well as the Republican Party might have wanted, being a blessing in disguise. So I read, I was like, well, what's the blessing in this from David Axelrod's perspective, longtime Democrat partisan? And he said, well, it's a good thing for the Republicans that they didn't do better, because this will open the door for Ron DeSantis, who will be a much better champion for their party than Trump could be. And then I'm thinking to myself, and then I was watching CNN last night. I was flipping between Fox and CNN. I like to watch CNN because I like to see what the other side is saying. And I was watching it before Trump announced, and they said, they were talking about, it was almost this entirely left-wing panel lauding Ron DeSantis. And I'm thinking to myself, well, now that's very generous of David Axelrod and all of these CNN panelists to give this advice to the GOP on how wonderful it would be if Ron DeSantis becomes the party's nominee. Now, why would they want
to
help
listen
out
to
like
me.
That?
Listen to
I
me.
Wonder.
Hold on. You're looking through it in the left-right, red-blue, dishonest, inaccurate paradigm. You got to look at it from the deep state versus us paradigm, James.
All right.
And Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis are both deep state operatives.
They don't give a rip.
They don't give a rip which one wins, my friend.
Okay. Well, if that's the case,
and prevent option C, which is none of the above in the Hegelian dialectic. They're cool if you vote for A or B or Democrat C, but not D, none of the above. Got it? They don't care.
Well, now that we're entirely on the same page then, Sam, I think that there is more of a chance than DeSantis being, being handled by them than Trump. I don't believe that about Trump. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. But if it is all so rigged as to that extent, then the only option then is an option C, which is not competing within the existing system and thinking something entirely new, which doesn't include relying on voting ourselves out of this, which is what I've been talking about throughout the program.
Your point's well taken on that front. But here's the deal. Who could challenge Donald Trump? Ron DeSantis. But when Ron DeSantis was even talked about and promoted by others, Donald went literally ballistic on Trump, on DeSantis, and treated him like an enemy. Shame on Donald for that. And I commend DeSantis for his humble, appropriate response. He first said nothing and didn't even respond. Then he finally responded so classy, with such class, it will shock you. Cameron, if you can go ahead and look in the folder that I've got, there is a DeSantis file there. DeSantis responds to abrupt Trump attacks. Can you play that for me? Go.
I would like to know what you think about Trump's big announcement and some of the less than flattering comments he has made about you.
Well, you know, one of the things I've learned, in this job is when you're leading, when you're getting things done, yeah, you take incoming fire. That's just the nature of it. I roll out of bed in the morning. I've got corporate media outlets that have a spasm, just the fact that I'm getting up in the morning, and it's constantly attacking. And this is just what's happened. I don't think any governor got attacked more, particularly by corporate media, than me over my four-year term. And yet, I think what you learn is all that's just noise. And really what matters is, are you leading? Are you getting in front of issues? Are you delivering results for people? And are you standing up for folks? And if you do that, then none of that stuff matters. And that's what we've done. We focused on results and leadership. And at the end of the day, I would just tell people to go check out the scoreboard from last Tuesday night. The fact of the matter is,
all right, listen, he continues here. Very interesting.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, it was the greatest Republican victory in the history of the state of Florida.
There you have it. Now, just imagine if Donald treated Ron the same way. We might actually get something done, James.
Well, it should come as no surprise to anyone who's ever watched Donald Trump that he goes after threats in this way. He did it. We loved it. I loved it. I got to admit, I loved it when he did it to true enemies of our people, like Jeb Bush in the original primaries. I like the irreverency. I mean, again, you know, is the act stale now, this now being the third campaign he's run? And so we've seen all of this before. I don't mind it so much when he does it to people who are absolute enemies of everything that we stand for. I kind of enjoy it a little bit. It might not
Cameron,
be the most classy
break.
Thing.
Go ahead, James.
But with regards to DeSantis, look, DeSantis, again, there's a lot to be said for him. He has a young, very attractive family. He's fresh. He's accomplished some things, but I also have some misgivings about, again, why is the media promoting him? Is it because they're anti-Trump, or is it because this is one of their boys?
Why does the media promote Trump relentlessly?
Doesn't
matter. Just give it the press. It polarizes the electorate. Doesn't matter what press you give. Just give press. They've given Donald Trump billions of dollars of free media.
Well, and it has been universally negative, and I mean to an article and to a televised commentary. It has been negative. I mean, Trump was different. Yes, you would say just ignore. But it was harder to ignore a media magnate like Trump, a billionaire celebrity, real estate titan in New York. They didn't know what he was going to be doing when he first announced, and then it was just such a ratings boom.
How come they attacked
him?
Yes,
normally
right
they
the
would
then.
Ignore.
See, they knew what he'd be doing. This was all planned out. Otherwise, they would have loved him from the start and attacked him later. No, they attacked him the second he walked down the escalator, sir.
Well, as soon as he walked down the escalator, the first thing he said was, "We got to get these Mexican rapists out of here." They went apoplectic over that. But I'll say something about
and did
DeSantis
he get him out of here? Hold on. Did he get him out of here?
No, but neither has DeSantis, right. And neither has any of them. But the thing about, you know, one thing about Trump that I liked, there was a lot that I liked, a lot that I didn't like. I voted for him twice. his big thing is, again, he upended the neocon hold on the Republican Party, the Republican base. I mean, there are some very good things that are going on.
We're running out of time. Let me go
levels with
some quick questions for James. The liberals are saying Ron DeSantis could possibly take on Trump. They say Mike Pence could possibly take on Trump. They say Mike Pompeo could take on Trump, possibly. They say Larry Hogan, possibly. Ted Cruz. There's many others. I don't believe any of those people have the mojo to take on Trump at all. They might even put Romney up against Trump and take the party back to the George Bush days of central or centrist governing. But the question becomes, who can take on Trump? Is there anyone, James? And do you think there'll be a primary?
Only DeSantis. All of those other guys, 0% chance. I mean, flat zero on Pence and Romney. There's just no way the Republican base is ever going to go back that. The Republicans may never win another presidential election, but they're not going to go back to that. There's 0% chance. Flat, less than zero. DeSantis could compete, but the shine of all of this, you know, of his wins in Florida will wear off between now and 2 years from now. I mean, the primaries, keep in mind, the primaries don't even kick off in Iowa until more than a year from now. And so the whole world will be, we could be a world war before then. The whole thing's going to be turned upside down several times between now and the next presidential election, to be sure. But even between now and the early primaries, more than a year from today, DeSantis could possibly compete. But, you know, running in a nationwide primary type thing is a totally different ballgame than what he's known. And that can be said for anyone who's not done it before. But Trump still has the loyalty of people across the nation in the base of the Republican Party.
Trump is clearly
the front runner.
Or will Trump get the nominee? That's the
Trump will get the nomination.
Normally an incumbent president will get the nomination, but since there's been 4 years in between, he's not really an incumbent nominee as normally done, right? So
he's still the best known nationwide. I mean, there's no doubt DeSantis' profile has been increased mightily over the last couple of years, especially after
Trump. You're right. But will there be a primary?
Well, there will be a primary. I don't know if it's going to be a competitive one. I don't know if you're asking me, will DeSantis run or not, I'd say it's 50-50. There will be a primary. Somebody's going to run.
Does not run, and I predict that there will not be a primary.
Well, again, there will be a primary in so much as some also ran, whether it be Pence or John Kasich, some moderate Republican. Like, now, Pence isn't a moderate. I mean, he's kind of a wimp, but, you know, I agree with him on the social issues, but he's not going to compete.
Yeah. All right, so here's the next question. There's a long time before this all pans out. Trump's got to stay in the news for a long time. Of course, the media will oblige him and help him for sure, even though they hate him. They'll just absolutely give him free advertising to the tune of billions and billions of dollars as he begs Sam Bushman for money. I've got 8 children, and Donald's begging me for money. It's insanity on crack. It's crazy. But nevertheless, will Trump become Speaker of the House? Because that's the only way he stays relevant enough to become president.
That is... Well, he's going to be relevant because he was a president. I mean, he's relevant no matter what happens. I mean, he's the front runner of the Republican Party.
Not if all the Republicans turned
right
against
now.
Him, he's not relevant.
Well, they were against him when he first came down, and he snapped them all in line.
There was a lot of the people that were for him at the state level.
Not within the establishment.
At the precinct levels. I know, but
that's
the state
right.
level, the precinct levels, a lot of people were for him.
Well, I had, that's to
how
your
you,
question.
That's how you had the precinct coup in the first place, by the way.
Well, the people were certainly for him, the Republican-based people, but in terms of the establishment, they came over sort of one by one. I think the first one that was out for him was Jeff Sessions in Alabama, who was a senator at the time in Alabama, and he was really the first Republican that came out for him in the early primary season, and then more and more high-profile Republicans. You know, of course, once the power begins to shift and Trump starts to become the nominee, then everybody falls in line because they're going to go with whichever way the power is shifting, and that's just human nature, and that's what happened. But the thing about him being Speaker of the House, now, we actually had on my program last week a former Republican nominee for United States Senate in her own right. Her name is Lauren Witzke. She won a contested Republican primary in 2020 and was the Republican nominee for Delaware that year, and she lost to the incumbent, but she's made a name for herself as a result of that campaign and then since. And she said that there is a lot of chatter, and she still keeps her ear to the ground a little bit with regard to what's going on in the actual party. She has contacts there. And she says there is chatter that he will become Speaker of the House. Now, that seems too wild for even me to consider or believe. I don't see that happening. I don't think Trump would lower himself to that. I think he wants to be the president. I think he wants to be the big man. And I don't see
him doing
that.
Remember, you're Speaker of the House. You're third in line already, right?
But how does exactly I'll plead ignorance on this. I've never heard of that happening, the Speaker of the House not even being a member of Congress. Has that happened before?
Yeah. Or is it the Senate? You know, who's the tiebreaker, right? Kamala's the tiebreaker in the Senate. But who takes over? I thought they said Nancy Pelosi could have been the president, right? Now Nancy's kind of melting down and kind of quitting, which is evidence that the Republicans are doing better than the Democrats say they are. Or Nancy wouldn't be quitting, by the way. But who's third in line to be the president?
Well, that will be whoever becomes the Speaker of the House. That's right.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? So Donald might just do that. It's not below him if it puts him in third place already, because then he could literally, as Speaker of the House, kind of command the boat, set the people up saying, hey, here's what I would do, Kamala, Biden, shame on you. If the new Republican Party, I don't know what to call it, jettisons McCarthy, whacked out Kevin that tried so hard, but, you know.
And he is being challenged.
Getting done. If you could get somebody that was Speaker of the House that could literally bring the House some mojo, you could simply silence the Senate by controlling the budget and by literally critiquing everything the president and vice president does, making them literally lame ducks for 2 years.
If you discount vote fraud, which is impossible to discount, but if you discount fraudulent elections, you can write off Trump at your own peril. Even with regards to everything we've said and any misgivings we may have, there is absolutely, there's a path for him to become reelected in 2024, especially if the economy continues to go in the tank, which there's no signs of it rebounding. And in fact, it could probably get a lot worse if the war escalates with Russia. You got to understand, even in these places like Nevada and Arizona, where the balance of power was tipped and which cost Trump in 2020, which cost the Republicans the Senate this time, you're talking about 50 to 49 election breaks. The Democrats win with like 50% of the vote, and Republicans get 49, and independent gets a couple of percentage, couple of points of a percentage. So, yeah, there is a path for Donald Trump to win again. There's just no doubt about it. Now, will it be frauded out? I mean, probably. But if you could get that solved, there would be a path for him to win, even in this divided in a country.
All right. So listen, let me tell you how this works. You got the president, the vice president, Speaker of the House, then the president pro tempore of the Senate is third. Right. So that's an interesting dynamic. The House gets before the Senate, and this is the brilliant checks and balances of the founders. The House has to have some mojo somewhere. Answer, they're third in line to the presidency. So if Donald became Speaker of the House, then we could see what he would do by what bills he moves forward. Right,
but
now,
is there a legitimate, I mean,
right now we've heard the Republicans who control the House shut everything down. That's what happened when Republicans had the House. The leadership, literally shut everything down. This is the chance to prove where they would really go, what the direction would be, James.
That is a great point. And again, other than rumor and innuendo and hearsay, I don't know how serious of a threat this is, or if Trump is on board with trying to make an attempt at it, or how it would work. I do know that Kevin McCarthy has officially been challenged. They had a conference call vote the other day, just sort of like a preliminary vote of what will be happening in January when the new Congress is seated.
Yeah, secret ballot vote, by the way.
And he did not have thank you, Sam. That's an important point. And he did not have enough votes to be reelected. So he's going to be challenged. And it looks like Representative Andy Biggs, who's a MAGA type, is going to be challenging him.
And I know Andy well, actually, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so what do you think about him?
We'll see what that happens. I think he's a great guy in many ways. I think he's a fairly new congressman, comparatively speaking. So I don't know that he has a real chance. Usually it's a seniority discussion to a great degree. But I think he's a good guy. I also know... what's his name from Florida? Senator from Florida is challenging it, right? What's his name? Rick Scott?
Yeah, Rick Scott. That's right. That's right. That's another one. And I got to tell you, you got to get away from the McCarthy and the McConnells. You know, you look at Arizona, which again, we've talked about. Blake Masters versus Mark Kelly. Now, again, let's just discount election fraud for a moment. Masters came within a few thousand votes of winning that, you know, a couple of percentage points, you know, it was a razor's edge defeat. And he got outspent $80 million to $12 million. $80 million poured in for the Democrat, $12 million for Masters. And even with most likely some voting shenanigans, we certainly know that was the case in Maricopa County. We talked about all these machines breaking on Election Day in Republican areas. He still almost won, and Mitch McConnell pulled funding from that race. He pulled the funding that the Republicans themselves were supposed to allocate towards
him.
Masters and pulled it when the whole fate of the Senate it depends on you carrying either Nevada or Arizona. So, yeah, they got to get rid of McConnell and McCarthy. They've got to do that.
All right, I got great news for the end of the hour. Our dear constitutional sheriff in Clickitat County, Washington. His name is Bob Sanders. He was in a Bob Songer. I'm sorry, Bob Songer. I've been speaking of Sanders too much. Bob Songer. He brought us fantastic news. He has won re-election. So we've got good news somewhere.
That is good news.
I think it's great news. But there you have it. So I don't know what's going to happen. I know people think I just want to down Donald every chance I get. That's not really true. What I want to do is promote the good that Donald does, and I want to reject the bad that Donald does. And when Donald fast-tracked vaccines, and when he didn't fire and prosecute Fauci, shame on the Donald.
That's right.
A lot of things Donald has done.
You've been very consistent in that.
A lot of things Donald has done has been incredibly good. The pro-life stance, could he go further? Possibly, but he's done more than any other president in my lifetime, and I absolutely commend him. Did he do his best on the border wall
and
stem the flow of illegals? Absolutely. Give him credit for that, too, James.
You've been consistent, and that's what a commentator and a newsman should do. Give credit when it's due and challenge when they fall short. That is what the media should do. You're one of the very few that do it on a high-profile level. But I got to say this about abortion. Everybody was saying that abortion was what killed the Republican Party. But again, that's just not true. They, you know, the thought that Roe versus Wade being kicked back to the states animated the left, and that's what blunted the Republicans. It certainly didn't in the red state areas, because you have now in the South where the Republicans have total control. And when I mean total control, I mean control of the governorship, the state Senate, and the state House of Representatives. The Republicans have that throughout the South, except in Virginia, and that's about to go back, if you can believe it, red. They've got a red governor now, and the Virginia House of Delegates is about to go back red. I think the Democrats hold it by one or two seats, and that's the only state house in all of the South that the Democrats hold. And in all of these southern states, abortion was a big winning issue, and of course, since the Supreme Court made their decision, the southern states have strengthened their abortion laws, and not only did it not hurt them, the Republicans, you saw in Florida, increased their supermajorities and increased their portion of the vote beyond that which they received in 2020. So it's not a losing issue for the Republicans, but it, you know, when you're talking about a nationwide vote, when you've got two different Americas, that's where it gets a little bit dicey.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have to keep an eye on the ball. It's way early. As James wisely mentions, it's a series of lifetimes, politically speaking, between now and even a Republican primary, much less the 2024 general election. A lot can happen. I think we need to stick on the issue of election fraud and remedy that reality, as Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips wisely point out. I think Donald Trump needs to come to the table and speak on that more boldly. He needs to fund those of us who are truly getting after that issue on his behalf.
That's right.
But he's been strangely, psychotically silent to date. I shame him for that. I shame him for being attacking DeSantis. That's actually a clown move, Donald. I'm telling you right now, it's a clown move, sir. How dare you attack our internal people, the best one in the country that's won with the biggest margins, and then you try to take credit for his win? You deserve some of that credit. But a humble guy gives Ron DeSantis the credit. At some point, Donald, you need to learn to get along and work together. I know you did it to stop anybody threatening you for 2024. But, folks, it can be done a better way that can unite. Maybe we can't unite with our enemies that want to become communist promoters, but we can certainly unite with our people. Is Ron DeSantis not one of us? If he's not, who is, Donald? I'll leave you with those thoughts. For Sam and James, we declare God save the Republic of the United States of America.